Praise God. Today is 10-9-2022. I got the year right because I taught Sunday school and I had the year wrong. And I'm going to be teaching a message called The Believer's Intimacy with God. I hope you leave this place rejoicing. If not, I don't know whatever else to share with you. So we're going to be starting in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And again, why I'm filling in, the pastor is teaching at a Grace Bible conference in Wisconsin today. So again, through the day, keep those speakers in prayer and those attending. So Ephesians 5, 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. I want you to let that ring in your mind. If you've trusted in Christ, you're God's child. And not, what's he call you? That's the Holy Spirit that inspired these words. You're his dear children, his dear child. You're not just this redheaded stepchild with buck teeth and pimples that you don't want to take nowhere. You take the little curly-haired blonde girl with the blue eyes, you know, sparkling eyes, or a little cute Filipino girl. So you are God's dear children. That, to me, is special. God's not far away. He's intimate. We have intimacy with him. And that's such a blessing to know in our daily walk, we can just have this, we can grow in intimacy with our Heavenly Father. And so, our Heavenly Father looks at us who are in Christ. You know, people go, we're all children of God, right, in the world? No, we're not. You know what Christ called the Pharisees? Childs of the devil. Your father, the devil. Them were the religious, self-righteous, the ones who thought by their works they were right with God. Go to Ephesians 1, 6 and 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And unless something changes, as assistant pastor, if everything works out and we find an apartment, the 23rd we'll be moving to Wisconsin. I'll be taking over a historic church. I didn't know that. Grace Church, the pastor. So as assistant pastor, this will be my last time. So I shouldn't even mention it. Get choked up. I feel like Paul in Ephesians, you know, at the end before he left, how they hugged each other and they weep because you become intimate. This has been our church family for the last 13, 14 years. I've been honored with being able to serve as adult Sunday school teacher, as preaching, covering for assisting the pastor, and just knowing. Yous will always be our church family. And every 3 months, we're coming back. I got this agreement with the elders. We'll be back for Christmas. So it might not be the last time I preach. I might cover for the pastor if you need me sometimes. But as assistant pastor of this church, and on the 16th, if all works, then it will be the last time as one of the adult Sunday school teachers. But leaving it in good hands, you know, with Oscar and Ray. So with that said, Ephesians 1, 6 and 7. To the praise of the glory of his grace, God's grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Do you remember at Christ's baptism? And there was a loud voice like thunder, and God said, this is my son who I am well pleased, right? This was before Christ did any works of ministry. You know, until his baptism, then at the, I believe it was the wedding, he made the, turn the wine, the water and the wine. I'm not going to go to, I got some things about that, but I want to stick to our lesson. Anyway, God was pleased because he was his beloved son, right? And you could understand that, right? But what does God call you? You're accepted in the beloved. God sees you in Christ, covered in Christ's righteousness. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we think, see, we got to take thoughts captive. You know, it's just not knowing this word. I mentioned that the Thursday night Bible study on Facebook, a little commercial there, 7 p.m. Central Time, about you study the Word of God. You rightly divide the Word of God. You know where to go to for our instructions in Paul's epistles and principles throughout all of God's Word. But you ain't busting a grape if you don't apply it to the details of your life when you're facing things. I'll give you an example. I'm teaching through Freedom from Depression, okay, God's way through his word. And if you want to know God's prescription on coming out of depression or not being depressed, Philippians 4:4-8, that's God's prescription to deal with our mind and emotions. And anyway, Mary had just got the call from the doctor that she did. It was positive. It was malignant. The cancer. And so I thought, you'd be strong for a husband should be strong for his wife. Like yesterday, me and Mary. I told her, I said, you know what I do? The best thing I do for you, honey, carry you to the Lord in prayer and then lead you in the Word. So we did Bibles. We usually do on Saturdays. But when she left the other day for work, all of a sudden I thought, I don't want to lose my wife. I love my wife. She's been there for me. She's been not perfect. Neither am I. We're just perfect for each other. And all of a sudden, I felt this heavy on my mind. It was like I could almost feel it. And you know what I thought? Oh, no. Because remember, Satan throws flaming darts at your minds, right? Darts of fear. Darts of doubt. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, has he? But of courage, love, and a sound mind. And I said, oh, no. Father, you told me to take every thought captive. And I'm looking into the future without you in there. That's why I was thinking that. And I said, I thank you that you're in our future. That you love Mary. And you work all things for her good and my good. And guess what? It went. But it's applying the Word of God. What are you struggling with? What do you got? You got things that are making you anxious or worried or you're concerned about. Be anxious for nothing but by prayer. Don't be full of care. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. And then what happens? The peace of God. God shares his peace with us because we're his dear children. Don't you, if you had children, some of you do, some of you's got grandchildren. Some of you might have great grandchildren. Don't you want to comfort them? Excuse me. My big snouts. Don't you want to comfort them when they're going through something? Because you love them, right? You want to help them. Sometimes you hug them, you know, and oh, I hurt my pinky in a little old thing or something, you know. And you're like, oh, it's okay. Right? How do you think God wants to do? He wants us to come to him when we're going through things. And not only when we're going through things. You know what else? When you're on the mountaintops, sometimes we forget about God then, right? Things are going good and everything's going my way. And I'm happy because happy has the idea of everything's going my way. But when it ain't, then I'm unhappy. But there's no word unjoy, is there? What does Paul say? Rejoice over and over and over. And where do you rejoice? In the Lord. Rejoice in Christ. Rejoice that you're God's dear children. And tell him with thanks. Be anxious or full of cares for nothing. But by supplication, be specific. With thanks. How can you thank God in the situation you're facing? God's working it out for your good. This morning we dealt with what? In Sunday school, the manifold wisdom of God. God's wisdom is unlimited. See, we can't understand maybe how he's going to work it for our good. But he can. Just like a three-year-old, you're trying to explain to them things. And I remember my son, he said, "You're going too high, Dad." And then, as I was studying yesterday, I seen David saying, when he's thinking of God's wisdom, "It's too high for me." And that brought me to me. And so I told my son, "Son, when I'm getting too high, you tell Daddy." I was trying to break things too much down to him. He couldn't grasp it, right? So we can bring everything to our... We're what's it say? Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, whereas he has made us accepted in the beloved. So the moment we believe the gospel, what's the gospel that saves today? Is it repent and be baptized for the remission of sins and you receive the Holy Spirit? As you know, our Pentecostal friends try and say, let's go back to Pentecost. No, that won't save anybody, right? What is it? What did Paul say? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to be going back to Ephesians, so you might keep your finger there. You know, there was different gospels in God's Word. The context demands what the gospel is. Here, the gospel that saves today is, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." See, this is the gospel Christ gave Paul from heaven, right? After his resurrection, which you have received and in which you stand. See, you're saved and you stay saved. By which you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. So the idea there is they understood the content of the gospel. They grasped it and they trusted in it. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Who did he receive it from? Christ from heaven, right? Christ says, if they don't receive you, he's talking to his kingdom apostles, they're not receiving God. Who Christ sends, when you believe the gospel that's being preached to you in that age and dispensation, today this is the gospel that saves. See, a dispensation is what? God dispensing his will and man's responsibility to obey that will. Today, here's the gospel. God says, "I'm sending out, I'm telling you how to get saved." What did Cain do? He wanted to come his way, right? Oh, he could work up from the ground in the sweat. "Oh, I worked so hard." And God, see, it said Abel came with blood, right? Abel came to God with blood, animal sacrifice, right? So later in Hebrews it says Abel came by faith, so God must have revealed you got to come through blood. Cain said, "Oh no, I'm going to impress God." Do you know he was the first Pharisee? I won't get into it, but there's a verse that shows that, but I didn't write it down. So anyway, today the gospel is, by which you are saved if you keep in memory, verse 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." What do you got to recognize to believe this, to be saved? That we're sinners. We're born in Adam. When he sinned, we were in his loins. The whole human race, right? When he fell, we fell. And the Spirit of God left him. He didn't have spiritual life. God said, in the day you eat of that fruit, what? That the tree of knowledge, good and evil, you shall surely die. And in Hebrew, it's a double death. Dying, you shall die. How'd he die? Spiritually that day, because he didn't die. God said, in that day you eat of it. He died spiritually. So could he pass spiritual life? No. He didn't have it. You know what he could pass? A sinful nature, because he gained the sin nature now. A rebellious nature. And we're born in this world filthy, stained with sin. And what did Adam and Eve do after they sinned? They tried to hide from God, right? They tried to cover themselves up with aprons of leaves. That crumbles, don't it? They hid from God. What do you think man's doing in man-made traditional religions and traditions of man? They're hiding from God. And then they're trying to come like Cain, which God won't accept, not come in God's way by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? And so we got to recognize we're a sinner. There's none righteous. No, not one. An unsaved person has to recognize that too. Because if they don't see their condition, are they going to come to Christ for his provision? No, because what are they taught? Even in school, oh, you got a high self-esteem. Think good about yourself. Give them all good grades. Give them A's so they don't get a low self-esteem. What did Jesus say? Love others as you love yourself. You already love yourself selfishly. Instead of just taking care of yourself, love others. Right? We don't need a high self-esteem. And we don't have to be like the religious people, like you had the... what were they called? Anyway, where, you know, you almost got to beat on yourself and you got to do penance and, you know, and think of ourselves as lowly, you know, crawling to the cross. No, you got to recognize you're a sinner and Christ died what? For our sins, personally. When I always say, don't look at your circumstances of what you're going through, whether it's pain, physical, mental, emotional, you're facing financial pains. If you want to know God loves you, because we live in a fallen world, stuff happens to believers, right? No temptation is overtaking you except that's common to man. That's believers. We get sick like unbelievers, right? Divorce happens like sometime, it shouldn't with believers, but it does. There's plane crashes believers have been in, right? Believers get killed sometimes, especially in some of the other lands where they don't have the freedom we've had. But you look at the cross where God demonstrated his love, his own unique love in this. We didn't deserve it, right? We're enemies. We're dead in our sins. We're following the course of this world, whether it be in carnal living or in religious thinking, man-made thinking. And what happened here? How that Christ died for our sins. God did demonstrate his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. If that don't rock your boat, if it don't move you, I'm not saying you got to be in tears. But when you think about that, sometimes I'm amazed, God. Why did you save me? I wasn't worth it. You get people saying, I'm a child of the king. God chose me. Like I was wonderful and he got a good deal when he got me. No, we were worthless, right? For to God, what's he going to do with the dead, spiritually dead person, totally unrighteous? He can't even have a relationship with the person. You know, unsaved people are, you know, praying or They're beads. You got them in Buddhism. You have them in some religions under the name of Christendom. They're repeating prayers where Christ said, don't pray like the heathen. Every week at church, well, they do what they call a Lord's Prayer, which is actually, he's teaching them how to pray because the next step for them was to go through the tribulation. That's will be very applicable during the trib, what they call the Lord's Prayer. But anyway, he says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So, and then what's Ephesians 2:8-9? How do you receive it? See, this is how God can save us. But Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:18-21, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And then he says, now be reconciled to God. Well, how does that work? If God did it, how do I reckon? I believe what God said, that Christ died for my sins. According to the Scriptures, he was buried and he rose victoriously over sin, over sin, over death. Praise God. And you got that resurrection power in you. Paul says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And then we like that, right? We don't like the next. And the fellowship of his suffering. We don't like that, right? We don't like suffering. Like what Paul says, tribulations. We rejoice, not only in this, right? But we rejoice in tribulations. Woo! And I just think, man, Paul, you sound crazy. How are you going to rejoice? And think of the things Paul went through. But he said, but we know. We study this word. We rightly divide it. Now we apply it. We know that tribulation produces perseverance, right? You don't quit. You keep going and serving Christ. You don't let Satan shut your mouth and shame you and blame you. When you understand that you're justified completely through his blood and through his resurrection, that God can use a justified, totally righteous person, that you have the, and that God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, our sin substitute. God took that blackness, that filthiness of sin, and put it on Christ over 2,000 years ago. And Christ suffered our pain, our shame. Amen. Sin brings shame. It should. Today, it's pretty shameless in the world because it's going more and more towards Satan's course of this world. And Paul tells us about the end times before the rapture, don't he? We were just talking about that. Won't have natural love. They'll be brutal. But us as believers, when we realize God's working off things for our good, so tribulations, we got to know this, but produces endurance, right? It produces patience. And what's that produce? Character, the character of Christ in us. We get some backbone. We're not these weak little Christians that just run away when everything, give up. Run going back and doing drugs or run into pornography to try and get your mind off your problems. No, we're believers, and God puts that hope in it. It calls us hope. Confident expectation. It's a confident hope. It's not, I hope I win the lottery. Not that kind of hope. The rapture is a blessed hope. We're confident that Christ is coming for his beloved children, the body of Christ. So what do we need to do in the meantime? Just go party it up? I ain't saying you can't have enjoy life, go out to friends and stuff. I'm talking about the main. Scripture makes the main plain. Redeeming the time at work. How does God, Ariana and her mom, Virginia, have worked as nurses. Don't God want to get into doctors and nurses' wives, don't he want them to hear the gospel? Well, guess what? Ariana got Christ in her. She comes walking up. Christ expressing, if she's focused, Christ is expressing himself. And all of a sudden, we start planting these seeds. Bill, you know, he works in all kinds of, construction or not construction. Huh? Robbing people and the mob. No. But anyway, he has a business. How does God get in them people's lives? When Bill comes and shares, plant some seeds. I was a dog trainer. I still do it. Professional dog trainer. And I know God got me in that house. And I plant some seeds. I test the waters, see where they're at. And sometime they ask me afterwards, can you stay a little while? I got some spiritual question for you. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, praise God. God's just looking for our availability. He'll give us the strength. He'll produce a love in us if we'll just be available and take a step of faith. Because I mentioned before, the first time I ever preached was at a senior's home. The assistant pastor he didn't show up, and the old ladies there, they says, Paul, can you preach? I'm this young Pentecostal that I don't even understand much, right? And I'm like, I never preached, and you know, I don't know how to do that, and I don't even know how to prepare, you know, since then I've learned. But they go, like I always say, they threw the little grammar guilt on me. Well, I guess the seniors won't have church today. You know how your mom will tell you, you'll be sorry if I die today. You'll be sorry you don't do what I asked. You know, sorry, I can see some of your mom says use that or grandma. Anyway, I says, all right. So I was scared to death. When you step out in faith in a ministry, a personal ministry, just being available for God, or you're thinking maybe God's put on your heart to do a ministry, maybe at church or with some other people at church, maybe it's helping Christians that have been struggling with drugs, or women that were abused. And who better to help them than somebody who God brought through that, right? Or somebody who's been on drugs and God's freed them from it, right? And anyway, so I says, all right, Lord, I'm going to do this. But I don't know I don't know how. And I got up there, and literally my legs were shaking. I mean, like Oscar, he was telling me when me and the pastor were encouraging him and try to start teaching Sunday school, you know, and he's like, hey, I respect the Word of God too much to mess up. And I said, so finally I told him later, because I told him, we make mistakes. The pastor, you ever notice?
Yeah.
He'll quote a verse and but give you the wrong number. I do the same thing. Anyway, later I finally, right, a little while back, told him, you know, if everybody thought that way, there would be no preachers or Bible teachers. Because
nope.
None of us ain't perfect.
Nope.
And he got the idea. Now, you see, he's rolling, you know. And I think he's on fire for the Lord. I love seeing it, you know. And that's what we're supposed to do, right? In leadership, is teach faithful men. So they'll teach faithful men, and on and on. And so, when I opened my mouth, I started, this is what I did. I just opened up the word like this because I didn't have none prepared. This ain't how you do it. Oh, what am I going to preach on today? Oh, God, just, you know, the Holy Spirit give me the words, right? But that's, God knew that's I was available. And as soon as I opened up my mouth, I started preaching like I'm preaching now, boldly. But it was taking that step of faith. In our weakness, Christ's power is made manifest, right? So if you've been, God's been putting on your heart about a ministry, don't put it off. Step out on faith. Yeah, it's scary. But you know, life can be boring if there ain't some challenges, right? And the journey of grace, it's a journey. It's an adventure. You know, I never thought what God has did in my life early when I was a baby, Pentecostal, falling on my face over and over. I didn't understand my identity in Christ, the finale of the cross, the reality of the resurrection. I didn't know how to rightly divide the word and understand the mystery. But boy, when I did, God gave me boldness. And I still pray all the time, God, give me boldness to open my mouth as I ought. That means be bold, but there's a way to be bold. Not rude. Love is not rude with people. And sharing patiently with people, whether it's the gospel, with unsaved people. And don't forget to challenge them. Because you share with them the gospel, but you got to challenge them. It's called a crunch question or comment. Now, you got to make a choice. You can walk away, stay unsaved on your way to hell. You'll still have that emptiness. That's why you got to stay busy to trying to fill that emptiness. Or you can make a decision to trust Christ today. It's up to you. Now you leave it in their hands, but you're letting them know. You got to make, because you haven't evangelized them until you've challenged them. You make a decision. And they can choose not to. You know, it's sad. And hopefully, maybe that seed you plant and another one will water. And later, hopefully, they'll come around. But if they don't, and they leave this world without Christ, without His Spirit in them, to be absent from the body for the believer is what? To be present with the Lord? When you leave here, it's a fearful thing right away. You can, I think I did a study on that one time. I think I taught it here. They're out of control. There's this wind that takes their spirit. And they're out of control. They're rolling and they're going into the sea and they're grasping and it's panicking and it's over. They had their opportunity while they were alive. That's why today is a day of salvation. Amen. It ain't, you know, because they'll find out the reality. They can laugh now. Laugh at God. Laugh at the gospel, laugh at you, because you care enough about them to share it with them. It won't be no laughing matter then. So, I think I read 4, right? And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. How do we know God's satisfied with Christ's sacrifice? Because Paul says later in this chapter, if he didn't rise from the dead, we're still in our sins. But he did rise, right? So we know that. So you know you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You live in it. You don't get forgiven over and over and over again, right? You live in forgiveness. You are right, the righteousness of God in Christ. You rejoice in that. I hope you're thanking God daily for all the spiritual blessings. So the moment we believe the gospel, and then how do you receive that gospel? Ephesians 2:8-9, you have been saved. Some translations will say you have been, some will say you are. They're both right, because in the Greek it's a perfect tense. It means some that happened in a point in time with continuing results. So you have been, and you continue to be saved. How? Simple faith. By grace, right? And you receive it by faith. Not of yourself, it's a gift. You receive the gift. The heart is the faith is a hand and heart. It just says thank you. When somebody gives you a gift, what are you supposed to say? Thank you. Do you tell them, oh no, let me pay you for my Christmas gift? That would be insulting, right? That's trampling. When somebody tries to earn salvation, it's trampling the grace of God underfoot. It's quenching the Spirit. So the moment we believe the gospel, 1 Corinthians, I just read it, 15:1-4, Ephesians 2:8-9, we became a new creation, new creature in Christ Jesus. We were born spiritually from above, and His Spirit came in and dwelt our previously dead human spirit. See how blessed you are? You were dead, now you're alive. You're alive. Praise God. And we were given eternal resurrection life in Christ. Go to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. I told you we'd go back to Ephesians. A lot of the verses I'll have now are actually in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom? Christ, right? In whom you trusted. Do you see that? You're saved by grace through faith. You got to trust. Trust what? Christ did that for me to be saved. After you heard the word of truth. So you got to hear the word of truth. You got to hear the gospel that Christ gave Paul for today, right? How do they hear without a preacher? Paul talks elsewhere. It's us who shares with them. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your, the good news of your salvation, in whom after that you believe. It's not enough to know the gospel, know about it. You got to trust, believe in it. And what happens? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit comes and seals you. Now you have God's seal of approval. And you're sealed with eternal life. You can't break that seal. Satan can't break it. Circumstances can't break it. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not height, nor depth, nor width, nor length. Things in the past, things in the future. Principalities, powers, right? Nothing can't separate you from God's love. You say, yeah, but you don't know how I mess up. Nothing can't separate you from God's love, according to God's word that Paul wrote. Not only can you not be separated from God's love, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, right? Who loved us and gave himself for us. So when you go through battles, don't wonder you're facing things. Don't wonder, does God love me? Why would he let Mary get cancer? God didn't cause a cancer. He told Adam, don't sin. Don't eat of that tree, because sin brought what? Death, disease, where we need jail, murderers, child molesters, everything that's caused from sin. And guess who's behind that? Satan. Don't blame God. Blame our adversary, the deceiver. But we can't even separate ourselves from the love of God. How God loves us. That's why, you know, what Paul talks about the angels learning from us about this mystery truth. Because the angels see us, you know. And they just sometimes... See, they never sin. So they don't... They learn grace from us. They never sin. And the ones who did, they don't have an opportunity to be saved. And then they see us and God loves us unconditionally. And they see him still using us. And they get amazed, I'm sure. And they rejoice in God's grace. And in heaven, you know, holy, 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 right? God Almighty. The angels are worshiping him. And I would think even more appreciating his unconditional love. And even his relationship with them, because they learn from us. Bunch of angel teachers out there. Never think about that, huh? What was that program? Some with the, by an angel? Touched by an angel? No, we touch the angels with when they learn from us. They're touching their hearts. We don't. Yeah. Anyways, that moment we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That's talking about we're guaranteed to be in the rapture when our bodies then are redeemed. We're already got everything inwardly. What we have. We're not going to get more inwardly. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. You have resurrection, spiritual, eternal life. But we're going to get bodies to match that, right? And that also tells you, because everybody in the rapture is going to heaven, right? So you're guaranteed heaven. So we suffer a little bit here, right? Paul said our light afflictions. See, when you're viewing things from a heavenly perspective, our light afflictions can't compare with the weight. You know, no, light afflictions. Think of it when you're in eternity. Your life's over, right? And in a million years, you're thinking back. Them things are going to seem like it wasn't even real, almost like a nightmare. But you'll know it was. You know why? Because you're going to be rewarded at the Bema Seat for everything you suffered, whether it's physical, whether it's persecution, whether it's mental, whatever you suffer, Christ is going to reward you for it. He's going to reward us for sharing the gospel out of love, serving the body of Christ if we're doing it out of love and not trying to impress people how wonderful I am. You know, now the pastor and Dave didn't believe in inward spiritual gifts. We all agreed the sign gifts, tongues, all them, prophecy, knowledge, the gift of healing, that passed. But I do believe in inward spiritual gifts. Everybody's got one, at least one. Mine is teaching and preaching. I think Mary's is mercy and encouragement, you know. And we all got something. And when we make ourselves available to the Lord, the Holy Spirit utilizes that gift He's given us. And it ain't to say, look at me and my gift. Aren't I wonderful? I teach Sunday school class. No, it's not to say, look at me. The gift is to give. Build up the body. And when we all work together, what happens? The body gets built up, right? And so, go to Ephesians 1:3. So we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? That's one blessing forever. And here's Paul. He starts out, man, he's bubbling as he's thinking about this. I bet you he can't write fast enough. Or I don't know if he had amanuensis write this in his place. And a lot of time, they would dictate exactly what Paul said. Because the Holy Spirit, all scriptures God breathed. That means the finished product. But anyway, whether Paul's this, he's bubbling up because he's thinking about these blessings. That's what that should cause for us to rejoice. Instead of thinking about what we don't have, being discontent and saying, if I only had that, we're content. Why? Because we can do all things through Christ. That's what Paul said. He learned that. We need to learn that. Because if you're not content with what God's blessed you with already, if you get more, if He blesses you, you won't be content with that. You know why? Because the flesh is insatiable. It's never satisfied. Why do you think people can get into, say, pornography? And it's light pornography. But after a while, it don't get it. It don't make that excitement to that person who's, now they're starting to get caught up in that. Now they need a twist to get that excitement. And then how can someone start maybe looking at magazines? You know, the old Playboy, that's pretty mild compared to what they got now on the internet. How can they get from that to watching child pornography? Because the flesh is never satisfied. How does somebody get from trying a joint or doing one line, I'm just going to try this, to where it controls their life? Because the flesh is never satisfied. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the, what is it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's in nature. It's not of God. But when you realize, well, let's read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's, I think he's thinking, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, do you see this? It happened in a point in time, right? It happened the moment you trusted, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Can you be content in that?
Yes.
Couple. They're content. I can tell they're happy people. The rest of y'all, you're going to have to learn this. this point. But we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Man, God has lavished His love on us. He didn't just love us a little bit. You know, people, I think more women than men, but some men will do this too. They're looking for someone to just love them and make them complete. And I see people in my family actually jumping from one relationship to another. The one says, he's the best man I've ever been with. Well, they said it about the last one. And all of a sudden, they're broken up. Like Zsa Zsa Gabor, how many times was she married? Lost track. Mickey, short Mickey, shorter than me. Why do you think they kept getting divorced? Because they thought this person could make me happy, complete me. And then all of a sudden they get married and they don't realize it ain't the person, it's you. Your sin nature. If you're not content as being single and rejoicing in God. I remember when I was single and I wanted to get married. I always did for years. I wanted to meet a good, especially after I understood God's grace, a good grace understanding young woman when I was younger. And I remember as I grew in grace and learned my identity in Christ, I was sitting on my mom's porch, back porch, and thinking, God, you know I want to get married. You know, I'd go to church and I would see, I'm single, and I'd see couples with their arms around each other, and here I am, sitting alone. You know, I'd be like, I want that, God. But now I understood my completeness in Christ. Colossians 2:10, you're complete in Christ. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have unconditional love. You have meaning and purpose to wake up in the morning. You have acceptance in God's beloved Son. And I told God, I said, you know, I still would like to get married. But if I never don't, I can rejoice and I thank you and I can be happy, spiritually happy. I said, if I meet somebody, that's icing on the cake. Christ is the cake. Yeah. And now I got steak, so that's why I don't mess with hamburger out there. I got a great wife. If only she would get rid of her piles of stuff at the house, she'd really be perfect. Anyway, none of us ain't perfect, right? Because we're God's children and we're complete in Christ, He considered us as full-grown adult children with all privileges and responsibilities to represent Him and His family. Well, who's His family? The church, right? The body of Christ. Go to Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. I got 5 minutes. I won't get in on my verses. But I think these are catching my drift. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God. Who's God? Our Heavenly Father, right? Don't we want to be like our Father? Yeah. Just like little children, especially sons. You know, they'll put His boots on and try, or they'll walk with Him and step in the, if it was mud or if you went hunting or fishing, they try and step in your footprints. Be ye therefore followers of God. Look at this again. As dear children. He's talking to you. And how does He want us to walk in our lives? And to walk in love. How? As Christ also loved us. And has given Himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Doesn't Paul tell us, who's our apostle?
Paul.
He's our pattern, right?
Yes.
Doesn't he say he gives us the commands of Christ? Yeah. Uh-oh, they got more quiet. It's like, all right, he's coming with them. Anyway, these are things he's instructing us to do, right? And he says our lives should adorn the gospel, right? When we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in love, we're walking in truth, because he's the Spirit of truth, right? And his fruit is love. Then our lives are going to adorn the gospel. You know what draws a lot of people to Christ? Because a believer is available and they're focused on Christ and they're growing in God's grace and love's being produced and you're there for them. You're loving them. You help them when they have needs. You're there when they're in pain and you're rejoicing with them when they're rejoicing too. And we need to do that, Paul talks about, with each other, right? When one part suffers, we should, because we care. And when one rejoices, rejoice with them, you know? And so, go to 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. This is our, if you want to call it, Great Commission. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry, every single one of us. What is it? It's called the ministry of reconciliation, right? This is what we're supposed to be sharing with the lost. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, God through Christ has put the whole human race in the dispensation of grace now, in a position to be saved. He's did everything. Except force them to believe. Sorry, Mr. Calvinist. You know, they say, nobody can resist God's will. Oh, really? What do unsaved people do every day? Christ said in his early ministry that how he desired as a hen with the brood to bring them under his wings. He said, but you wouldn't. Oh, yeah, you can resist Holy Spirit. You can grieve him. You can quench him, right? And so, we're supposed to be telling people it's the same idea as the gospel. Christ died for your sins. God wants to give you eternal life and the gift of righteousness, right? And he says, now then, we beseech you for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ's stead, be reconciled to Christ. And he talks about how we're ambassadors also. We're citizens of heaven, representing heaven. And we got a message. We're here for one purpose, and that main purpose. God desires all to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth, right? So sharing this gospel, our commission. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, verse 20. As though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. So what does an unsaved person got to do on their part? Believe the next verse. For he made him to be sin for us, our sin substitute. He knew no sin. Who knew no sin? He was the innocent Lamb of God that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what we share. You want to be right with God? People say, later, I'm going to get myself right with God. I'm having fun now. No, you won't. You know, how you know you got tomorrow? So, because we're dear children, God's dear children, he wants us to know we now have intimacy with him. See, it's just not working for God. It's being about the Father's business, like Christ. Remember when he was a little kid? What will you do? You know what, the mom, I'll freak down the dad. And he's in the temple. I'll be about my Father's business. you know, he didn't say it like that, but probably with the Hebrew accent. But anyway, we serve with God. We serve by the power of His Spirit. We're be about the Father's business, you know. If you love your father, did you have fathers that you respected? I did. I was scared of them, but so I can't compare God in that way. But, I mean, I'm in awe of God, but not where He's going to punish me, like my dad did, over. But anyway, you want to spend time with them. You want to do things that please them. And Paul tells us what pleases God when fruit is being produced in our lives and growing in knowledge. So as you grow in knowledge and you apply that knowledge, the Holy Spirit in your spirit, teaching your mind, thereby directing your will, not overruling it, thereby governing our actions, so Christ is living in and through us. And we get to be about the Father's work. And so we have blessed access to Him. We have intimacy. I'm closing up with this. How do we have access? By prayer? 24/7. I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm praising God. Thank you, God, I got access to You, you know, at 3 in the morning. In prayer, in which we share our thoughts and our hearts with Him, whether it's in tough times or just praise times, the good times. And then by spending time in His Word, in which He reveals to us His heart, His thoughts, and His desires. Some people like just talking, right? They like people to listen to them. Right, Bill? No. I was playing with you. I know people like that. They want to talk to you. But as soon as you start to say something, they just keep going. That's not communication, right? Communication is one shares, then the other gets a chance. A growing relationship with God is us sharing with God our hearts, our joys, our goals in prayer, and God sharing His heart, His goals, His will, as we rightly divide His word. And you want to grow in intimacy more with God? Get into the Word and pray without ceasing. Keep a prayerful mindset throughout the day and enjoy your relationship with Abba, Papa, Dada, Daddy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for giving us access to You, that we can come before Your throne day or night. And we're not thinking that it's far away, God, because You indwell us. Your Spirit indwells us. Christ indwells us. And Your Spirit intercedes for us. And I thank You for that, because sometimes we don't pray what we ought, and we're praying the wrong thing. And He brings, we got to pray for Him to intercede, but He brings it according to Your will and Your purpose. And I thank You for that. And I thank You for Your word You've given us. As we're studying Your word, it would be just like You were here verbally telling us, explaining things to us. Because it's Your living and active and powerful word. And that's how You speak to us today as we rightly divide it. I pray if there's one that's never trusted in Your Son as our Savior, I pray they wouldn't put it off. I don't want to see anyone go to hell for eternity, Father. And I pray for us, as always, that Your love fills us and we grow in Your grace and grow in intimacy with You and Your Son and know Christ as our life and the power of His resurrection is manifested in and through our lives. And we'll give You all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray.